You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's turn now to a conversation we recorded at our live show in Ann Arbor earlier this year. Take a listen. Here's a question to ponder. How white is craft beer? Writer Dave Infante posed that question in a piece for Thrillist. I'm going to quote him here. Craft beer is white, whiter than a ski lodge, whiter than a Whole Foods in the suburbs. And he followed it with a question, and again I quote, where the hell are all the black craft brewers, bar owners, bloggers, aficionados, and nerds? So we're going to talk about that as we welcome two guests who are changing that narrative. Brian Jones Chance is chairman and chief operating officer of 734 Brewing Company in Ypsilanti. And Kuma Ofori Mensah is a brewer at Cultivate Coffee and Tap House in Ypsilanti. Welcome to our stateside here in Ann Arbor. So good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So I'm going to start off with you, Brian. What's your answer to that question? How white is craft beer in Michigan?
It's pretty white.
Do you think the craft beer industry does have an issue with diversity?
I think it does, but I don't think it's necessarily anyone's fault. I think that part of the issue is that there are some maybe taste differences that aren't really fully being addressed, and that's a symptom of the problem.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you don't have a lot of African Americans or any other minorities in the industry, then it's going to make it a little bit difficult to be sensitive to them when you're going to do marketing or creating recipes or any of the other things you might do.
And from where you sit, what do you think, Kuma, as far as has the black community been slower to pick up on craft beer?
I would say so. I've been brewing since 2012, and I mean, a joke I like to tell is I once went to a craft brewing conference at a ski lodge, and it was me and the Jamaican guy who worked there. But it's true. It's you don't see many people of color in the industry. I've seen an uptick in people who are enjoying craft beer, but I've still yet to see an uptick in the number of black folk and people of color who are actually making craft beer.
And why do you think that is?
On the craft side, on the creating side, I'm not 100% sure. I think in general, craft beer, culturally speaking, is not as appealing to people of color. I think it has to do with the fact that a lot of craft beer businesses are being started, operated, created by white people. Mm-hmm. And what that breeds is that you're going to have people who are creating a space, they're creating a culture, they're creating a business from what they know, from themselves. You know, it's just like anyone who starts a business, that's what you're going to do. And so I think what that ends up happening is you have a lot of spaces where, culturally speaking, it's not as appealing to people of color.
Has craft beer been linked to experiences and things that perhaps are not relatable or at all appealing to people of color? Is there a history in a sense, Brian?
Potentially. However, I don't really think that's where most of the problem comes from.
Okay, what do you think?
I think it has to do with cultivating a broader customer base. And if you don't have that broad customer base, then you don't have interest in the product. And when you don't have interest in the product, there's no interest in working in the industry. And then there's no interest in being an owner in the industry. And then you have problems where there's marketing that's not tailored to any particular demographic outside of the one in the mainstream. And I think that's really where most of the problem is. We can try to dice it up as being, you know, are there differences in taste or are there differences in environment? And yes, there are. The environment does need to be more tailored, but you can't get there if you don't have the participants, and that has to begin with customers.
You can learn a lot from people's stories. So I'm wondering what brought each of you to the brewing industry. I'll let you start, Kuma. What brought you to this?
For me, I actually went to school at Western, so I was out in Kalamazoo, probably the best place in town to drink was at Bell's. And so I spent a lot of time just kind of going there, eventually expanded my interests. There were, at the time, Old Peninsula was another brew pub in town. When I went home to Plymouth, I was working summers at a place that had 800 different bottles of beer. And so for me, I was just kind of started getting interested in like how are there so many different varieties? I didn't at the time realize that there was so much variety. I knew there was variety in wine, but I didn't know that there was as much variety in beer. So I just kind of started tasting it, exploring it, and trying to find out, trying to learn. And then years later, eventually I found myself a job in the industry.
Well, there you go. What's your story, Brian?
Well, like Kuma, and actually in the same years, we both went to Western.
Sure.
And
did you know each other then?
We did.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's just coincidence. And my story started with my friend Patrick and I brewing our first batch of beer in a basement in the house that I was renting. We got all the supplies from Bell's, and it turned out all right. He really got into it and took off. I had other interests, and he outgrew his basement, and he got me and another friend to help him start the business.
So, and you opened, I know, Brian, 734 Brewing Company this past June?
That's correct.
What do you see as the mission of your place?
Our mission is to expand the reach of craft beer into underserved markets and expand the opportunities in craft beer to those same markets.
And how are you doing that?
It's kind of a three-pronged approach. So the first step is to remove the barriers and reduce switching costs. Barriers are easy, things like price. Switching costs are the things that make you grab the Heinz ketchup instead of the Meyer brand ketchup, even though it's 50 cents more. You have an association with it, and we want to bring that down. So one way is having good operations means that we can provide really good quality at a really low price. Our beers start at $3.25. Somebody drinking Bud Light on happy hour can definitely still afford it. And that's a high switching cost. If you're used to Bud, they've got a huge brand, and a lot of people of color are drinking those larger mainstream brands because it's what they know. Same with anyone else. Same with older folks. You bring that cost down, and suddenly it's something you can experiment with. You can try it. And once you try it, because it's good, you will keep drinking it. And that's where it starts. It's really that simple.
And Kuma, tell us, with your job as brewer at Cultivate, what does that entail?
So my job actually is unique in that all of the brewing that I do is collaborative. So my job is to create partnerships with several breweries around the state, come up with recipes with those breweries and their brewers, and go out to the different breweries to create beers that we'll end up buying half the batch to put on tap at Cultivate as one of ours.
So through what you're both doing, are you making a concerted effort to speak directly to people of color?
Absolutely. One of the ways that we do that at 734 is the environment. It's very clean. It's very modern. There's no pallet wood anywhere. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But we do sort of eschew the hipster aesthetic. The other thing is the music, and that's a huge part of the environment. We mostly play hip-hop and R&B. It is not really a divisive kind of music. Everybody listens to hip-hop and R&B these days, and even our older customers have grown accustomed to acclimating themselves to youth culture for decades. It's not a big deal. They can enjoy it too. Everyone's welcome. That's really the main part, and the other thing is we find young people who are popular within these groups. So a lot of young artists of color present artwork there, and we have a little gallery set up, and we have young black musicians, young Hispanic musicians, young everybody musicians, really, and they draw their own crowd, which then gets them used to the space. They start trying the beer because it's inexpensive, and then they like it because it tastes better. And then you keep coming back. It's really not complicated.
Yeah. There you go. And Kuma, as somebody who designs and beers, give us an idea of some of these unique flavors that you've come up. What's the most unique one you've done?
Let's see. The most unique one that I've done. I literally just earlier came up with a day or two ago, came up with a recipe for a plum and cardamom wheat beer that I'll be brewing out in Grand Rapids next week. I've done a milkshake IPA that was made with mango, milk sugar, and a good amount of oats that went over incredibly well with a lot of people, pretty broad spread of people. I did a beer with Brewery Vivant that had honey, rose, orange flower water. I've done a cardamom and coffee beer in the past.
I'm all in for all of these.
All over the map. Yeah.
And Brian, what are some of your favorites that you offer?
Well, we take a slightly different approach. Mm-hmm. So we start people off on an apple wine that we make. That's pretty popular with people who are new to craft beer. If you don't like beer, and even if you don't like cider, this is good. It's not sweet, it's very dry. Mm. But for folks that are used to maybe going out and having a hard liquor drink, this does the same job, and it doesn't, it tastes okay when it's warm. And I think in particularly African-American culture, there is some aversion to public drinking. So doing it like at a family event out at a park, you might not be drinking. In a bar, you might have a mixed drink that you can nurse over a long period of time. This does that job. And then you move into the beers. We have simpler styles like our cream ale. It's a very popular starter beer. And then you can build on that into other flavors. Some people go from apple wine and cream ale, and now they only drink stout and IPA. The transition happened very quickly.
You're training taste buds.
We are.
Yeah,
you're and totally. It's really just a matter of introduction.
Well, they sound both places sound absolutely fantastic with great offerings, and we want to thank you for sharing your passion for brewing with us. Brian Jones Chance, Chairman and Chief Operating Officer at 734 Brewing Company in Ypsilanti. Also in Ypsilanti, Cultivate Coffee and Tap House, where Kuma Oforimensa is a brewer. Sound yummy? I'm going to be there checking them out. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much to both of you for being
thank
with
you
us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.